Hello and welcome to the Embracing a Simpler Life podcast. This is the podcast that helps you throw off the things that hold you back so you can pursue Christ with all you've got. Hello and welcome to episode number one of the Embracing a Simpler Life podcast. I am one of your hosts, Katie Bennett, and I am here today with my amazing husband, Mitch Bennett.
Hello.
And we are so excited to launch this brand new endeavor together as a married couple about something that we are so passionate about, and that is eternal perspective.
Eternal perspective is very important, but could you very quickly give me the elevator speech on why that matters to you and us?
Well, the thing is, our lives are incredibly short in the scope of eternity. And one of my favorite books in the Bible is the book of Ecclesiastes, where Solomon really examines the meaninglessness of life under the sun. He sees that everything that we're working for and storing up, all our ambition and wealth and pleasure is all going to be gone in the blink of an eye. As quickly as the flowers of the field fade away, so will all our glory. And all that will be left in the end is the things that we invested in throughout our lives that have eternal weight. I believe this is incredibly important because our world is spending its time distracted. Even Christians, the church is so distracted by the things of the world that we're missing an opportunity to be a part of the kingdom of God. And we're missing an opportunity to store up treasures in heaven. We're missing an opportunity to build on the foundation that we have in Christ with gold, jewels, and precious stones, things that will endure on the day of judgment. And since eternity is a really, really long time, and the now is incredibly fleeting and short, this matters. And we should pay attention to eternity and how it impacts our today.
Very good. That was a long elevator ride. We went to the top of Sears Tower faster than that. That's all right. That's all right.
You get me talking about things I like to talk about. This is what happens.
That's good. That's what we're here for.
So today, we are launching our new podcast, and we have been praying about this podcast for about the past year, but during that time, I wrote a book, and a lot of crazy things happened. We moved our family to a new place. You changed careers, remodeled the house. Long story short, this podcast has been a little while in the making, but here we are, and for our very first episode, we're tackling a topic that is extremely challenging and powerful, and that is love.
Love. It's like the biggest thing in the Bible, so, you know, start big and work our way down from there.
I think it's really good to get a foundation, and when you want to talk about something that gives eternal meaning to our finite moments and days, you've got to talk about love, because that's really what it all comes back to. Is love. 1 Corinthians 16:14 says, do everything in love.
Everything as in everything.
Everything. As in clip your toenails in love. So you might not want to leave the clippings all over the floor because that might not be very loving.
All right, this is getting personal. I don't know if I can handle this.
I'm just joking. You don't do that.
Most days.
So as we go throughout life, we do many things. We might clean toilets. We change diapers. We definitely do in our household. We have three little children. Only one is still in diapers. And I personally know that I seem to fold endless amounts of laundry.
A lot more than I do. We also do crazy things like making dinners. I mow the lawn. One time you mowed the lawn, broke window.
You would bring that up.
We take care of our kids. I mean, we do a lot.
For you, for those of you who are listening, I want you to take a moment to think about how you serve your family or those around you. Or even more specifically, what is your least favorite way that you serve others? What is something you do that you really don't enjoy? This might be a household chore. It could be caring for an ailing parent or something specific that you do that you don't enjoy?
Good questions. I want to know what motivates us. Why do we do the things that we do? What do we want our motivation to be for all these tasks? We have a lot of meaningful tasks in our day-to-day life. We also have what feels like a lot of meaningless tasks in our day-to-day life. But what should be our motivation, and what do we look for motivation for these tasks?
So ideally, if you look at 1 Corinthians 16:14, which I read, ideally our motivation would be love. Truly, love can permeate absolutely everything that we are doing. When we love our families by meeting their needs, even the most simplest of need, like cleaning their bathroom, and that might cost us something because we might not enjoy doing that, but we show them love through that act of service. And what's more, we show love to our Savior by doing the tasks He has put before us faithfully. And yes, our work will be frustrated. It will quickly come undone because honestly, that's just part of the curse that we endure in this world because of our sin. But God, in His mercy, has made a way for us to overcome the emptiness of our decaying reality. Not only has He ushered us into a new eternal life through Jesus Christ, He's also supernaturally and mysteriously poured meaning back into our living. So, even the most basic of tasks, when done in love, will hold lasting significance. While at the same time, the most lofty or seemingly spiritual of accomplishments will gain us nothing but nothing apart from love.
Yeah, 1 Corinthians 13 says, "If I speak in tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have a gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing."
I find that scripture so fascinating and challenging that we could literally right now sell this house that we're sitting in and enjoying. We could sacrifice it, give it all to the poor. We could even surrender our very bodies, but there is a chance that we could gain absolutely nothing if our motivation's not right. Like perhaps if we did it because we wanted the praise of others or we wanted to elevate ourselves in some way through sacrifice, there would be no reward. At the end of the end, prophecy will cease, tongues will be stilled, knowledge will pass away. All the toilets we cleaned and all the nice things we did for others in and of themselves will be forgotten. But it is the love that we exhibited, even through the most menial tasks, that will remain. If we want our moments to ring out into eternity, we must develop the discipline of love. Do everything in love. There's nothing greater that God wants from us than to love Him firstly, and secondly, to love our neighbor as ourselves.
Elsewhere in 1 Corinthians, it says that these things will remain. These three things will remain: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. So it's all over Scripture, the importance of love.
And the fact that it will remain when so many other things have passed away. Faith, hope, and love will remain, but one of those outvalues the others, and it's love.
It is love. For me, love, I don't know. I learned a lot about love from Matthew 22, and it's a really common verse, maybe a little more famous in the Luke version, but it talks about love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. To love the Lord your God. That's the first and greatest commandment. So, and then it goes on after that, and it says, the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. And when I first really pondered that verse, and God really put that verse on my heart, I picked out a part of it that I don't know that most people key in on the first time, and that was, love your neighbor as yourself. But in order to love my neighbor as myself, that meant that I had to love myself. And at that time in my life, that was really difficult because I didn't feel like I loved myself. I feel like I was a sinner. I was messed up. And even though I knew God's love and I knew I was a Christian and I knew I was going to go to heaven and I knew all these things in my mind, I still didn't love myself. I did not see at all the fact that these things really don't matter. These things that I built up in my mind really don't matter. It does not matter if I get 100% in every single one of my classes. It does not matter if I score 40 points in every basketball game. It does not matter if every single person likes me. At the end of the end of the end, that's not the stuff that matters. And there was these little things that piled up in my life that, I don't know, just made me not respect and love myself the way that I should. So how am I going to take a life where I'm not loving myself and turn that around and love others, let alone love God, the way that he commanded us to do in Matthew 22 or in Luke? And so God really hit me hard with that, and it was really cool just to see that I am worthwhile. I am a child of God, and there's plenty to love about me. And that's why that verse I often quote is my favorite verse. And that's really the reason why, is because God taught me such a big lesson with that verse when I first memorized it and kind of dwelled on it for a while.
As I'm listening to you, I think ultimately the process that he was taking you through was the process of receiving his love for you. And that's something that I've thought about very often, that we cannot love others with God's love until we receive his love for us that he's poured out on us. And it is our mandate to do that, to be rooted and established in his love for us, and just to let that well fill us up and give us our worth and our identity.
It was almost like I felt like I was unlovable, but if you read scripture, you know that no one is unlovable and that God has love for all of us. And that's an important realization to have before you start loving others, is realizing that everybody really is lovable. Yeah. How are you going to love everybody if you don't know that they are lovable?
Yeah. Another thing that I learned recently about love that I feel like is so profound, I just noticed this in scripture, but love is synonymous with sacrifice. Love is brought to its full expression through sacrifice. That is how it is shown. Christ loved us. How did he show the full extent of his love? Well, John 13:1 says, "It was just before the Passover feast. Jesus knew that the time had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he now showed them the full extent of his love. What did he do? He washed their feet. God, the God of the universe, humbled himself to wash the dirty, stinky feet of sinful, fallen, lowly man, but he elevated them and loved them in that way. And then if we look at 1 John 3:16, it says, this is how we know what love is. Okay, so we're about to hear the definition of love. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. So Christ loved us, so he made the ultimate sacrifice for us. When we love him, we will in turn make the ultimate sacrifice for him of laying down our life. If we say we love him, but we retain our lives and we're not willing to relinquish them to him, or we retain our idols, we don't love him. He says, and I can't think of the verse reference off the top of my head, but I can put it in the show notes. But he said, if anybody loves their son or daughter or husband or wife or parents more than me, he's not worthy of me. We have to lay down everything if we love God. That will be the natural outflow. And in the same way, we may say that we love others. We may say that we love our spouse, our children, our parents, our friends, neighbors, coworkers, but it will be shown through our sacrifice. Remember, 1 John 3:16, this is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. Our love for others will be shown through sacrifice. So remember how at the beginning of this podcast episode, we asked you to think about what's your least favorite chore. So I'm going to say mine is probably laundry. I just really kind of dread it, and it's slightly irrational. I just don't like doing laundry, and it constantly, like, as soon as you get that load of laundry done, there are five more sets of clothes hitting the laundry basket that night, which is practically another load. So you could just can never be done. It's always piling back up. So I don't enjoy laundry, but because of that, I have the opportunity to show love to my family. I can take it as a holy opportunity to enact love and to lay down my life for them in a tangible way, knowing that that love will ring out into eternity. So imagine if, in contrast, if I loved cooking. That was my thing. I loved doing it. So when I cooked my family dinner, yes, I'm meeting their need and I might be loving them through that, but in many ways I'm doing it for myself because I'm doing what I enjoy. But whenever we do the thing that we don't enjoy, it just becomes a complete, beautiful sacrifice on God's altar.
I think you can, I personally can attest that I can feel that when I really serve somebody, and I know that I'm not doing it because it's something I want to do, and I know that, you know, they might not even ever know that I really did it, but I'm serving them in a way that is just showing them love. To me, there's not many better feelings than that. Like, God and the Holy Spirit just help you see just a little bit of the value of doing that, I think. And it's really cool to have that experience and to be able to serve somebody else, whether they know it or not, and to do it in a way that is totally sacrificial and isn't necessarily good for you, but it's good for them. So I think that you can be led by the Spirit in that, and you can feel it and know that you're doing something with the right heart.
I feel like love is just an important metric for all of our decision-making if we want to live an eternally significant life, if we want our today to matter. So if there is a situation that you are weighing in your own mind right now and you're trying to make a decision about and you're maybe asking for input and godly advice and really considering what are you going to do in this certain situation, I would challenge you to think through the grid of love. What is going to show God's love to the people involved, not to yourself, to others, to the other people involved. And yes, there is absolutely such a thing as tough love, but tough love is not self-serving. Tough love is absolutely doing what is best for that person 100% at your own cost. So that is all we have for today, and we hope that you will be carefully considering these things as you walk and talk and drive, go throughout all the activities of your day, that you would consider what it means to do everything in love, knowing that you will be rewarded in heaven, that this is worth it, and that this glorifies your Maker.
I was just going to say, don't put love in a box. Love can be anything. It can be a lot of different things. I guess it can't be anything, but it could be a lot of different things. Just because we said doing laundry or sweeping the floor or whatever we said today that was different acts of love, don't put love in that box. Let God lead you to something that is love, and He knows what love is to the people around you. And so just be also listening and praying about what that looks like and what that means in your life, because it might be a lot different. You might be in a totally different place than we are, and God will lead you to where you need to be doing to act out love.
We'll see you next time.
See ya.